doing such things as are well pleasing to thee. And thou art the illumination of our souls and bodies of Christ our God. And unto thee we send up glory, together with thy Father, who is from everlasting, and that all holy, good, and life creating spirit, now and ever and unto ages of ages. Peace be unto all.
Yes,
the readings of the Holy Gospel according to St.
Luke.
Let us attend. The Lord said this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. God said to him, Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. Today, we make ready to celebrate the entry of the Theotokos into the temple. Born of Baron Joachim and Anna as a gift from God in response to their prayer and fasting, the Most Blessed Virgin was brought by them to the temple when she was but 3 years old. St. Gregory Palamas, Archbishop of Thessaloniki in the 14th century, gave a homily on her entrance into the temple and how she spent her days in the Holy of Holies. He describes things in such detail that one could presume he had a vivid imagination. Except we know that the Theotokos appeared to him on numerous occasions. And I believe that St. Gregory is actually describing what the Theotokos herself revealed to him. Nowhere on earth, says St. Gregory in his homily, is more sacred than the Holy of Holies. This was where God dwelt. But the Holy Virgin, she is the true and the living tabernacle. She is the true throne who would hold God. It was for her sake that Moses erected the other tabernacle, the portable one, the tent of meeting of the Exodus, and prepared the inmost sanctuary in it. But the Panagia, the Theotokos, All Holy One, was also the unchanging shrine, of all God's graces. And the psalmist speaks of her when he says, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. From this, we see her described also like the stone temple of Solomon. Only she is the real stone temple. Only she's not of stone, she's of flesh and blood. She is the real immovable, the real permanent temple of God that the temple of Solomon prefigured. Several times, the glory of the Lord overshadowed both the moving and the movable temples so that no one could go in. Moses couldn't go in when the glory of the Lord was overshadowing it. The king, the priests, nobody could go in when it was overshadowing the temple of Solomon. But in those overshadowings of the glory of God, there was no union of God and man. The Holy Spirit overshadowed the Holy Virgin, the same word used for the glory of the Lord overshadowing the Old Testament temple. The Holy Spirit overshadowed the Holy Virgin, just as he did the Old Testament temples. But this was the overshadowing to which the others pointed. For within this overshadowing, the power of the Most High did not converse with the true living temple through a whirlwind or a cloud, as he did with Job. He did not converse with her through darkness and fire, as he did with Moses on Mount Sinai. Nor did he converse with her with a gentle breeze, as he did with Elijah. But rather in his very person, he directly overshadowed her womb without any disguise. There was nothing between the one overshadowing and the one overshadowed, says St. Gregory. Neither air, nor anything perceptible, nor anything beyond our perception. This was union of God and man. And from this union with the Theotokos, the Word of God took shape in the flesh as Son of God and Son of Man, fashioned from both the power of the Most High and from this Most Holy Lady's virginal womb. It is the true doctrine of Christ that reveals the sublime mystery of the Holy Virgin. The theological understanding of the Theotokos is an essential doctrine of Orthodox Christology. If Christ is God the Son, then the Virgin in whose womb he was conceived and who gave him birth as Son of Man is truly the Theotokos, the Mother of God. She is the true living temple in whom God became flesh and pitched his tent among us. From a true confession of Christ as the Son of God incarnate, St. Gregory gives expression to the faith of the Church regarding the Theotokos. Because God became flesh in her womb, it follows that she alone forms the boundary between created and uncreated natures, and that no one can come to God except through her and the mediator born of her. None of God's gifts can be bestowed on angels or men except through her. As many as will share in God, in other words, as many as will become partakers of the divine nature, as St. Peter says in his second epistle, will do so through her. As many as will know God will acknowledge her as the one who contained him who cannot be contained. And as many as will extol God will extol her too, with him. Because the flesh in which God the Word accomplished our salvation, he received from her. And without her, there would have been no incarnation. And without an incarnation, there would have been no salvation. And so we honor the Theotokos as high as we possibly can. Following with St. Gregory, we acknowledge the Theotokos as the reason for everything that preceded her. Why? Because the incarnation is the reason for everything before her. And without her, there's no incarnation. We acknowledge her as the cause of eternal blessings, the delight of those in heaven, the adornment of the whole creation, the beginning, the source, and the root of good things past telling, the summit and fulfillment of everything holy. Through her, everything in heaven above and on earth below has been opened to us. For through her, God was made flesh that he might destroy death and deliver us from the power of the devil. And without her, that would not have happened. it would not have been possible. The Christian faith is the tender love of the mother for her son and the son for his mother. You've heard me say that before several times, but I'm not making it up. I'm taking it from St. Gregory Palamas. To deny, to ignore, or to diminish the Theotokos is to set up in place of the true Christian faith a dry moralism or a vacuous belief system grounded in the conceit of self-righteous assertion and not in the love of God and his mother that heals the soul and the heart. Through our most beloved Lady Theotokos, we have received into our bodies the Word of God, not in theory, but concretely as our food and drink. The body of Christ that he took from the Holy Virgin and by which he destroyed death by death has become united with our body. And so we have been united not only to the Lord, but also to his Holy Mother. And we have been taken up into the healing tenderness of the love of Christ and his Holy Mother. Using as her guide, says St. Gregory, holy stillness, Hezekiah, the Blessed Virgin was engaged in what St. Gregory calls the true activity. She was building not barns for earthly riches, as we read in the Gospel this morning, but rather she was building her soul into a holy dwelling place for Christ, the treasure of God. In the Holy of Holies, removed from the world, she led an unencumbered life, living for God alone, making God her delight and continually waiting on him. Every Sabbath, she listened to Moses and the prophets read in the temple services, and she saw how man was estranged from the Creator, become more like the devil and less like the God who created him. And so she turned her whole mind to God with the aim of finding a remedy for our destruction and our uncheckable rush to hell. Interceding for mankind, she took it upon herself to represent us, that he might remove the curse from us. She struggled with the devil in the sanctuary for many years. And how does St. Gregory know that, if the Theotokos did not share it with him? For many years, she struggled with the devil there in the Holy of Holies, in respect of all the pleasures invented by the powers of darkness as bait to catch souls, and she triumphed over him. And in all of this, she invented and she put into practice what we call in the church the prayer of the heart. She's the one who invented that prayer. She's the one who practiced it. And she's the one who handed it down in the church to all those who come after her. Dear faithful, having received the body of Christ, we have received the true temple of God into our body. We have received Christ and his Holy Mother. Can you see then that the activity inherent to the Christian faith is the true activity of the Theotokos, the activity of prayer of the heart in inner stillness, to build our bodies and our soul into a temple with the ascetic activity of the prayer of the heart? We are in the world. We are not monastics, and we have worldly obligations. But even so, the unseen activity of our soul that should be giving fiber to our life in the world should be this unceasing prayer in our heart. Our home should be a temple. in which we, the temples of God, dwell, as did the Theotokos in her home, which was the temple. Our home should be a temple unencumbered, a place unencumbered by the world, where we live for God alone. In other words, the atmosphere in our home should be such that it fosters inner stillness, mutual respect and kindness. So what if to build our home into this place of inner stillness and mutual respect, what if we turned off the TV? What if we put down the smartphones? What if we came away from the computer to be together as a family, engaged in activities that are akin to the true activity of inner stillness? As examples, and these are only examples, and it's a small number of examples that I give to provoke your mind to think of your own examples. I would offer such activities as, you know, there's all kinds of arts and crafts projects that you can do as a family. I remember with fondness doing those kinds of things with my mother and my sisters. And for glue, my mother taught us how to mix flour and water to make a little sticky paste. And it worked just fine. And I remember that with some fondness, actually. How about assigning to each member of the family, kids as well as adults, household chores? And after those chores are finished, sitting around the fire with a cup of hot cider or tea, and to read a good story together. We're coming into Advent. How about reading Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol over the weeks, or other stories like that? Or how about reading the lives of the saints? Or how about taking the Festal Manaean and just reading some of the tropes, the verse, the hymns, together as a family? Or how about reading stories from the Gospels and then talking about them as a family? How about playing board games together? How about putting puzzles together? I know some of us hate putting puzzles together, but some of us love putting puzzles together. One of my fondest memories is putting puzzles together with my Uncle David and my Grandma Rinker. How about going on nature walks together as a family? When we were in New Jersey, I remember going with Sean and Christina after a heavy snow, and we would walk along down the block and we'd find tracks. We'd try to figure out which animal it was, or if it was human tracks, we'd try to figure out if it was a man or a woman, a child, if they were walking, if they were running, if they were wearing boots, if they were wearing regular shoes. So it's fun, all the things you can tell just by looking at a track in the snow. How about watching the sun set and the moon rise after a late afternoon skate on the ice? Well, here's one that came to me last night at supper as we were sitting around all of our pictures of our family. How about engaging each other, the family, in projects to trace your ancestry and to find the stories of your grandpas and grandmas, uncles and aunts? There's all kinds of things that one can do as a family that are wholesome activities. No, how we're not. Create edifying activities that create that foster family togetherness, mutual respect, but most importantly, they foster this inner stillness where you are in touch, as they say nowadays, where you are in touch with your soul. And this kind of shaping of our children, it's not a monastic type of shaping, but you know, you do these kinds of things and it can prepare the children. When they grow up, some of them may want to become monastics, and they'll be ready. But you know what? Monastic or lay, adult or child, The true activity of the Theotokos is the activity of the church. And it's the activity of prayer. And I fear that we have forgotten that. So we look at the priest and we think he's the only one who's active in the liturgy. Everybody else is just standing around, listening, watching. No. Everyone should be praying. The actions of the priest come from out of the true activity which of the faithful, which should be the bedrock of the church. Every one of us should be active in this true activity of prayer, inner prayer. And as we listen to the church's words, we should be absorbing them because they are the words of prayer. We should be praying these words. And these words don't come from us. They don't come from some liturgical committee. We believe that they come from the Holy Spirit. So they come from Christ. They come from the Father. These are sacred words that we are hearing, that we are speaking, and that we are acting out in the church. And we should all be engaged in absorbing those words into our soul and praying them so that we are engaged in this true activity of the church, and on the bedrock of that, we do the divine services. If you are single, what if you were to figure out ways to cultivate inner stillness at home? And in that inner stillness, you know, turning off the TV, coming away from the computer, putting down the smartphone, and getting quiet. And in that quietness, maybe sitting at the couch, looking out the window at the moon rising or the sun setting or whatever, reflect on your life. Recount God's blessings. And then turning deeper within yourself, placing yourself in God's presence, ask the Holy Spirit to illumine for you habits of mind and behavior that are otherwise you're otherwise blind to, but that actually separate you from God and even from yourself, from your own heart. Brothers and sisters, these ideas that I've shared with you are only a few, meant only to illustrate how we can redeem the time and begin the work, the true activity of the church, and work to commend ourselves in practical ways to Christ our God, to make the cave of our heart a pleasing dwelling place for God, who comes to us through the Blessed Virgin Theotokos. Amen. Most Holy Theotokos, save us. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God forever.